if you were to consider this liturgical year like a plane trip, the plane has now made its final turn and is heading for the runway to land, because we have now made a transition to where the scripture readings are going to focus on Jesus and his second coming, beginning with the reading from the Book of Wisdom. And the wisdom is being prudent and being prepared for when the Lord comes. Second reading, we have the main purpose to Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. There's been some confusion there. You know, these are all pagan Greek converts who don't really have much of a previous idea of what an afterlife would be, if there even is one. And so there's this confusion going on because some of their members are dying, old age, sickness, injury, and they've got this idea that Jesus is going to come soon in their lifetimes. Now, what's going to happen to these who have already died? Are they going to be lost because they're not still alive when Jesus comes? And so Paul has to deal with this question, and he gives them a very specific and very direct answer. No, you will not go before they do. He's going to come and raise up those who sleep in Christ first. Then he's going to catch up those who are still alive here on planet Earth. And he even gives a sequence to it. There'll be a word of command from God, an archangel's voice, and the blowing of the Lord's trumpet. Then the dead rise, and then those who are living are caught up. And that brings to a question. What about this Protestant teaching in some segments of it called the rapture? You know what that is? There's going to be this secret second coming of Jesus, sort of like a pre-second coming, where he's going to come in secret and catch up all the living. You know, like, you know, they have the those crazy movies that have come out, where all of a sudden there's the driver of a car and he disappears and leaves the, you know, the passengers in the back like, ah! Or the pilot disappears out of the plane, co-pilot's seat. Is that in that reading? Not even anywhere. This is actually one of the main proof texts that the Protestant church uses to try and prove that there is a secret rapture. Did you hear anything secret sounding about that? Now, this is the problem with proof texting, because often what they do is they will take a phrase or even just a single word totally out of context and try to build a teaching out of it. Listen to what Paul said to the Thessalonians. First, there will be a word of command from God. Second, the Lord's voice and an archangel's voice. And then third, the blast of a trumpet. Does anything like that sound like it would be secret? Have you ever heard a subtle secret trumpet blast? Somehow the pastor of my home parish, Father Cutter, heard that I had been learning how to play trumpet since 8th grade. This is now 9th grade. And so he has a bright idea. Hey, Joe, would you like to bring your trumpet to the big mass on Easter Sunday morning? It's like, you know, 9th grade is like, hey, that sounds cool. So here I am, and I'm in the back of the church, and some of the people that are back around me are looking at me going, what's this kid doing taking a trumpet out of the case? I'm fitting the mouthpiece in, and I'm getting ready for the pastor's signal to blow. They had some idea, but there are 12 rows of people in pews ahead of me who have absolutely no idea. And all of a sudden you get da-da-da, da-da-da-da, because I'm nervous, and so I'm blowing just a little bit more hard than was necessary. And have you ever seen 12 rows of pews filled with people jump a foot in the air all at the same time? So, you know, there's what Paul's describing is going to happen at the end when Jesus comes again. There's absolutely nothing secret about it whatsoever. It's going to be known at the instant it happens by the entire planet. And then there's no secret rapture. The living aren't going to go first. Those who have died in Christ are going to rise first. Then the rest. So, what's the point? First reading, the second reading, go into the gospel passage. Because these gospel passages, we got three parables, the last three before we start into the passion narrative in Matthew's gospel, where it's very pointedly focusing on, here's a heads up for you, you need to be ready, because what was the last line of that gospel passage? You do not know the day or the hour, with the implication, have yourself ready to go at a moment's notice. We've got 10 virgins, like in today's parlance, bridesmaids. They're carrying torches, lamps, so that when the groom comes, they're ready to escort the groom and the bride to the home that the bridegroom has prepared for his bride for the consummation of their marriage. 5 are wise. They have no idea. You know, we don't have time clocks. Nobody has an Apple Watch or one of those little smartwatch things on their arms. So they really don't know. It's like, I'm going to show up at 6:05 p.m. You know, they don't know that. So they just have to be ready. Their 5 of them are not ready. 5 are. They've got extra oil so that whenever he shows up, they're ready to go. What's wrong with the other 5? Literally, you could say they've fallen asleep on the job, because they are completely not prepared. What's Jesus trying to tell us? You know, they've got their lamps, but they've gone out because they have run out of oil. Now, think of the times when Jesus speaks about light in the Gospels, especially Matthew's. We are meant to be like lamps that are set on a lampstand for all in the house to see. You are the light of the world. Your faith in Christ is meant to bring the light of Christ into the whole world. In other words, your living example of your faith in Christ is meant to be burning, shining brightly for all to see. It means you need to be doing what on a consistent basis? What's the oil that keeps the lamp burning? It got as quiet as it did at 8 o'clock this morning and 4:30 yesterday afternoon. What does it mean to keep the ready supply of extra oil so that your lamp is kept burning brightly? Think in terms of this. What is the last word that Jesus says in this gospel parable, in the parable, to those who show up having not been prepared ahead of time? And they're knocking on the door, hey, let us in, let us in, let us in. And Jesus opens the door crack, and what does he say to them? I do not know you. What do you take from that? They have not maintained a living relationship with the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. They do not have a consistent, healthy prayer life. They are not familiar with, filled their hearts and minds with the scriptures. They have not been worthily participating and receiving the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. They don't have a living faith. They've literally let it go dark, out, extinguished, because they've not been putting themselves, applying themselves to keeping that relationship with Christ alive. And consequently, it has died. Now, was he just speaking metaphorically here, or is he trying to say something to all of us? Remember, these parables, this one, next week, and the week after, are going to get increasingly intense in their pointedness. If the bridegroom were suddenly to show up unexpectedly today, will your lamp be burning brightly, or has it gone out? Yeah, you may show up in church every Sunday, but have you taken any of this to heart? You may be receiving communion, but are you doing so worthily, as in a state of grace? Are you receiving, conscious that it is Jesus himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity, whom you are receiving when you receive communion? Or is it going through the motions? Heavy question, right? But again, what does it take to be ready for when the Lord comes? Now, it could be the big coming when time comes to an end, when Jesus literally comes again. You hear the Lord's voice, the archangel's voice, the angels blowing the trumpets. It could be your personal coming when you stop breathing here on planet Earth. In either case, if it were to happen right now, what's the state of your lamp? Is it burning brightly? Have you been allowing God to fill you with the oil of His grace? Have you been taking that and letting it shine when you leave here until you come back here next week and the next week and the next week until whenever He comes? Faith is not just an hour on Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon, but includes 24/7, 365, until. Are you ready? These readings are pointedly trying to give us a really big, major heads up. Are you ready? If not, and you're still breathing, you've still got time. But again, be prudent, wise, don't waste it. Be ready. Take the time. You know, so much about our world today tries to discourage us because the world thinks this is all a waste of time. You could be doing more fun things on a Sunday morning. Taking time for prayer. Oh, who wants to do that? Or, you know, the big one, I'm so busy. Really? Are you too busy for God? Again, what's the status of your lamp? Is it lit? Does it have oil? Are you ready?